course, we're going to kick it off this segment with candidate for mayor Benjamin Hall, former city attorney under Bob Lanier, and attorney in private practice. He has all sorts of accolades, and of course, the show's not long enough to give you all of them, but you can go to his website at, BenHallForMayor.com.
You got it.
And good morning, Mr. Hall. Welcome to Magic 102's Sunday Morning Live.
It's my pleasure to be here, I'll tell you. Could not be sick today. I decided I had to show up. You would tell everybody you scared me off.
Well, we don't want to do that. We are glad to have you on board today.
It's my honor. Thank you.
Yeah, we've been, it's been in the news that you are running for mayor. It's official. And, you know, it's just, let's just get to the chase. We got some interesting questions. The first thing, a question I'd like to ask you, number one, there's no crisis, no scandal, economy's fine, jobs are among the highest in the country. What makes Benjamin Hall a better choice for Houston?
In fact, that's an appropriate question. The issue is not the present. The issue is the future of the city. Right now, I do not believe we have appropriate leadership in the mayor's office for the city. And therefore, the voters should be given an option, a choice, at the election booth in terms of the future of the city. It's not about just someone holding a position for two more years, but rather what is the better path forward for this great city? There are some fundamental differences in the policies I think the city should adopt as opposed to the present position coming out of the mayor's office, one of which is I oppose the drainage fee. I think it's unnecessary and it is encumbering the progress of the city. It was represented to be a $5 charge or no more than a $5 charge. That's the way it was sold to the voters. But in fact, it has evidenced itself as a tremendous burden on many landowners and businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with the increase in fees.
Let me ask you this. What do you propose to deal with the drainage problem?
Sure.
Since the fees are over the top.
In fact, there is a better way forward, and there's a better way of revenue production.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you have the challenge of revenue production for the city in order to sustain the services it provides to the citizenry. Right now, 40% of the city's landmass is sustainable. That means that the cost of city services is either equal to or exceeds the revenue that's being recovered from that property. That means 60% of the city's surface property is unsustainable, meaning the cost to the city exceeds the revenue that's coming out of that property. I think the better way forward is not continuing to strangle or collect additional charges from the 40%, but rather to incentivize others to come in and use the unsustainable property. You do that not by increasing fees and charges and taxes and claiming there's a drainage fee that's not a tax, but rather by giving tax benefits, tax credits, tax rebates to persons that might be willing to come in and use that unsustainable surface property inside the city of Houston. I think that's the future of the city, not the present enterprise that's being undertaken.
Unsustainable surface, when you say unsustainable, in other words, how would it be if it's unsustainable? Or
unsustainable means that the tax revenue that's coming off of the property
mm-hmm.
is below the cost that the city is incurring
okay.
to maintain that property, other to provide fire protection, policing, infrastructure demands. If you have that equation where the revenue production is not equal to or exceeding the cost to the city, it's a negative value on the books. But just imagine, it would be better to have to give a tax incentive so that that unsustainable property, other words, a property that's not producing enough revenue, actually is available to businesses or job creators, and it's a better proposition for the city.
Okay, well, job creators are back. Okay.
I have a question. When we talk about these unsustainable properties, exactly, can you give us an idea just right off the bat?
Sure.
A couple of areas where some of these unsustainable properties are located.
And let's make sure that we're not characterizing unsustainable in the sense of quality. We're just simply talking about economics here. On the right outside of 610 at 288, there are 100 acres of property that actually belong to the city. That 100 acres of property right now produces no tax revenue to the city. This is a classic example. That could be easily converted into by investors into a production company or into a water world or some kind of entertainment center, and it would turn revenue, return to revenue to the city and also create jobs. Let me tell you, I'm not talking about any kind of trickle down or trickle up. I'm talking about simply having people on the property who can generate revenue for the city.
Okay. Let's. How about the issue of mass transit?
Okay. In fact, we have no, I believe, meaningful policy right now coming out of the mayor's office on mass transit. And let's talk about what we're trying to achieve. My sound just left. Did it leave yours?
No, you're fine.
Okay. Let's talk about what are we attempting to achieve with mass transit. The key is, do you want to drive densification of the population, or are you trying to move dense populations back and forth? That needs to be first determined, and I don't see that that is an articulated policy coming out of the mayor's office or really a uniform policy coming out of Metro. So what does that mean? Are we trying to use rail to move people who already are in dense areas into and connect them, such as persons may come to the airport? You have a lot of people who are without transportation. Are you trying to move them into a central district like downtown or the medical center or the gallery area where there are other areas of densification? Or are you trying to use rail to densify an area? That is, areas that may be underutilized right now, you want to increase the population along the rail line and thereby increase the use of that property. I think we need to have an articulable and reasonable expression of what our policy is before we do too much expansion on the rail system. Obviously, we have to finish the three lines that are now in place. Otherwise, it would be a waste of taxpayer money. But I think we need to articulate what is really the dominant policy that's driving our rail contributions. In addition to that, rail is not the only option we need to consider. We also should consider the option of how we have lane travel right now inside the city. If you go down Bel Air, everybody has to stop at the King Kirkwood light if that light turns red, even if you don't want to turn at that intersection. Or if you go down to Wilcrest and that light at the same grade, if it turns red, everybody has to stop. That stops the entire traffic, even if you don't and expect to turn right or left at that intersection. That's just the way we've planned the city. Well, think about this. The only reason we have intersections is if a contrary or traffic is going to turn left or right or have some exchange at that location. Mm-hmm. But some of us are not choosing to turn on Kirkwood or Wilcrest. It would be better, I think, if we had a grade separation where that traffic that's not going to utilize that intersection simply passes underneath that intersection and continues to go forward.
Wow.
That is a simple approach to congestion that right now, in the next 2 years at least, the present occupant is not showing any leadership on.
Well, the first thing that hits my mind when I think of that is, number one, cost. Number two, flooding.
Yeah. Well, in fact, flooding is a difficult issue, but I have an approach.
Mm-hmm.
One approach is, and let's think about what we're talking about with flooding. Flooding is impeding the ability of first responders to get to individuals who are in distress. Flooding is also risking the lives of individuals here. And now it seems to me the greatest feat that's being accomplished is saying we have a problem. Well, that does nothing to simply be in the mayor's office or in any elected office and say we have a problem with flooding. Let's address the problem. This is what I think we should explore.
Okay, our phone number is 713-390-5102, 713-390-5102. We're talking with Ben Hall, candidate for mayor of the city of Houston. Let's go to line one. Derek, you're on Sunday Morning Live. Derek, you're on the air. We got Derek, line one. Hello.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, Brother Ben Hall, I'd like to ask two things about the community block grants and educating the black community about these. because one time I tried to go and apply for one of those, and in the previous administration, they act like they didn't know anything about that, what I was talking about. Can you address that kind of briefly? And also, the flooding problem right there at Tickwell and 45, that's been a continual issue right there. And from what I understand from somebody within the water company, they say that's been a huge amount of a continual buildup of sand, but the city have not actually moved on trying to correct that. What is going on with that?
In fact, thank you, sir. Thank you, Derek. Let me address the latter part in terms of flooding. I believe that we should explore the capturing of flood water as opposed to using what is a fairly primitive system. Our primitive system is a slow evacuation of water off of the surface. We should be able to use technologies to expedite the evacuation of surface water, and have some solutions to that that hopefully we'll get to later. In terms of the CDBG grants, I'm well acquainted with CDBG funding. In fact, when I was a city attorney, one of the complaints we had was, were we utilizing and maximizing the use of CDBG funds? We can and we will. I have presently a meeting set with HUD representatives to discuss the city's cooperation with HUD and compliance with HUD regulations to make sure we're utilizing money. The threat is there that we might even lose some of the HUD funding because of non-compliance with regulations. Well, if there are any HUD officials there, I want to make it clear that the city of Houston, under Ben Hall administration, is going to comply with all HUD regulations, and we're going to use that for HUD funding to benefit all residents of this city.
Let's go to line three with Brenda. You're on Sunday Morning Live at 9:13. Good morning.
Hi, yes, I have a question. I was listening to Mr. Hall, and he's talking about a lot of changes. I mean, frankly, he mentioned the rail system. The rail system is a waste overall, because if you look at the number of people that actually use the rail system, it's not even worth the taxes. Then he was talking about, I agree with him about the drainage fee that they're charging and their alleged $5, because my bill went up from like $20 or $30. You're talking about one person in a single residence home, and my water bill went up from like $20 to $30 to over $100 each month. And with an increase like that, I'm thinking that the average person just can't sustain it. So if you can continue to make improvements, who's going to pay those taxes?
Okay. Thank you, Brenda.
In fact, Brenda, I agree with you on the issue of the drainage fee, and I think I've already announced that would be something that I would suspend or roll out. And it was represented falsely to the residents and the voters, and right now it's being used for purposes that were not articulated at the time that voters went to the polls. Number two, on the issue of the mass transit system.
Well, can I ask you, you said the monies that were collected for the drainage is not being used as such?
In fact, they're being used to cover some personnel costs downtown. I'm sure that if that had been represented to the voters, they may have taken a different look at that before casting their vote. We thought when we cast that vote that we would be using those funds to have drainage programs immediately in the neighborhoods and in the streets.
Okay.
But some of that is being used for personnel costs.
Okay.
All right. You have said a couple of things that have really captured my attention. First of all, when we were talking about the flooding and flooding ideas, capturing of flood water.
Yes.
I'd like you to talk about that. And also, when we talk about HUD and the city of Houston's and noncompliance of regulations, seems like there's always been a continuing pattern, a consistent pattern of this noncompliance of regulations with HUD over the years, and the consistent problems. So how do we address fixing it so that it is more efficient?
Well, let's talk about the HUD problem, and then I'll talk about drainage, because drainage I'm really excited about, because I have a vertical drainage capacity project that I would like to have the voters consider. But on the issue of noncompliance, it really is. There seems to be a poorly defined purpose for community development at City Hall. Right now, we need a better articulation of what it is that neighborhood protection and community development is intended to do. Is it intended to provide affordable housing to the public? Is it intended to simply sustain habitable existence inside the city? Is it intended to provide support such that home ownership can be fostered? I believe that once you have clear leadership in terms of what the purpose of neighborhood protection and community development is, then it's easy to comply with the federal regulations. If you don't have clear direction, then you have what you have, this meandering of efforts without clear focus. That's number one. Number two, think about flood water. Flood water is fresh water. It's not salty. It's fresh water. However, we are allowing it to flow into the brackish streams and then into the salty bay. Once it gets into the salty bay, we can't use it for drinking or potable purposes. Because it's already fresh water, we treat it now as a hazard or a liability because it's building up and pooling on our streets. But if we could find some way to capture some of that flood water and return it back into the system as potable water, I think that's a better way. That's the future of Houston, and we can turn a liability into an asset. How do we do that? We do it by aggressive retention ponds or vertical retention technologies. We also can do it with using propulsive efforts to pull down surface water underneath the ground and pool it in certain cisterns or cavities that are created underground. I think that if we look down the pike in terms of the future of Houston, we need to aggressively look at this liability and turn it into an asset. I think we can do that with just some right thinking and some right leadership.
Okay, we got to get some more phone calls in here. Let's go to line four. Art, you're on Sunday Morning Live with Ben Hall. Good morning.
Yes, Mr. Hall. My name is Art Smith, and I'd like to know, how do you feel about the Houston Independent School District when they, use a lot of bully tactics as far as taking minority contracts and giving them to white-owned companies out of state while the contract is already in place, and just using blatant racism as far as I need to go and team up with another black-owned company because they're black and I'm black. But I can't get any assistance because it seems like everyone in the city is scared of HISD when it comes to, the fairness of being a minority vendor.
Okay. Thank you, Art, for your call.
Well, Art, let me say, I think my concern about HISD goes even beyond what you've just put on the table. But one, I believe that HISD owes the best education possible to our children, and I think that they're underperforming at that level. And I think as the mayor of the city of Houston, it is my duty to speak out and tell HISD and the board members, we demand the best education possible for our students. It's not appropriate for people to say they don't want to live inside the city of Houston because of the school district. That has got to change. That's a bad equation for us, and that's number one. On the issue of contracting, I have to tell you that it really turns on the leaders of an organization to make sure that there's fair play at the contracting booth. Right now, I know that when I was a city attorney 20 years ago, one of the issues that we pressed was making sure that everyone had an opportunity to compete for city business and city contracts. I think that that has to be the same attitude over at HISD. And as the mayor of the city, I can tell you fair competition is going to be one of the primary purposes of my administration.
Let's go to line two with Gladys. You're on Sunday Morning Live with Ben Hall, candidate for mayor. Good morning.
I want to know Ben's position on tax collection entities such as Limebarger, because really, if all of the taxing authorities were to go back to doing it themselves, that would be more money in the coffers for taxpayers. But as it stands now, it's like Limebarger is a terrorist organization because there is no recourse for the taxpayer but going to court all the time. There should be an intermediary, some type of panel, which I thought it introduced to the legislature, so that property owners can go before that panel and present their case rather than having to go to court. But what is your position on the city reclaiming of the collection of so-called delinquent property taxes saving more money for the taxpayers here in Houston?
Okay, thank you for your call, Gladys.
And Gladys, let me say, I think I know a little bit about tax collection efforts, and I know about folk who are trying to collect these excessive amounts. Let's talk about what we're talking about. After a certain deadline, in terms of paying your taxes, you have statutory imposed growth interest rates. So you get 6%, 9%, so on, until you get to a certain deadline, and then it turns over to private collection efforts. And they are not only able to collect the interest and penalties, but also an additional punitive amount of 15 to 20%. For the tax collector. So Gladys's question is, what do I think about taking that back from the private collectors and have it inside, in-house? I'll be honest with you, I'm open to that. I'm open to the proposition of at least exploring it. I do not want to say anything negative about Kalam Leinbarger. They've worked for a number of years for a number of organizations. But if it's not in the best interest of the public, I'm open to considering alternatives. What we want is payment of the taxes, not to punish people for living inside the city.
We're running out of time, but I wanted to get this in. You know, watching the morning news, it seems that crime is on the increase on a daily basis. What do you propose to do to improve the effectiveness of police and fire to ensure safer communities?
Well, let's talk about what the problem really is. The problem is that criminals are coming into our city. So the first thing I think we have to do is make sure criminals understand they're unwelcome in Houston. I want to make sure of that they're unwelcome here. If you intend to commit crime, go someplace else. Houston is not the place for you. Number two, I believe that we have to exploit technology. I've been acquainted in this campaign with the technology of these little cameras that can be placed strategically in certain public areas. And it seems to me criminals don't like their activity to be captured on a camera. And so I'm thinking we can exploit that technology. In fact, the deterrence rate in those areas is pretty impressive, about 80%. A decline in criminal activity when those are instituted. Now, obviously, we have to protect against privacy rights to make sure that they're not intrusive and looking into people's backyards and so on. But I think that if we place those strategically throughout certain neighborhoods and certain areas, that may be an asset that supplements our police officers. And we're going to look forward to the opportunity of expanding our police force. But right now, I want to send the first message out to criminals. You're not going to be treated nicely here in Houston, Texas. We're going to do it within the bounds of the Constitution, but you're unwelcome here.
Okay, well, we're just about out of time. Just got one last question. Hopefully you can answer it, maybe just a few words.
Okay.
You may be a history maker. No incumbent mayor has lost an election in Houston since Bob Lanier, who you worked under, beat Kathy Whitmire.
Sure, I'm a history maker.
All right. All right, thank you. How can folks reach you for volunteerism, making donations, or whatever they want to do to help?
713-BEN-HALL. 713-BEN-HALL is the telephone number. And then we have a website, benhallformayor.com.
I have to get that number. That's
713-BEN-HALL.
That's pretty good. That's costly.
I'm a history maker.
All right.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you, too.